Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
On the Louisville Cardinals Sports Network from Learfield, this is the Coach Dan McDonald Radio Show, brought to you by Parler. Also brought to you by Kroger, fresh for everyone, and by U of L Health, official healthcare provider of the Louisville Cardinals. Now live from Parler, here's the voice of Louisville Cardinals baseball, Sean Moff.
And hello and welcome into Parler in J-Town. Great crowd here tonight, as you can hear, and we're excited about another great show, the Dan McDonald Radio Show, live from Parler in J-Town. We'd encourage you to come on out one of these times. If you can't make it tonight, we've got incredible pizza. I see some nachos over here, some wings, enjoying a salad, some cold beverages, which I'm a big fan of, and of course the featured pizza. So some great options here. Again, my name is Sean Moth, and I'm joined by the head coach of the Cards, as you might expect, Dan McDonald. Coach, a couple of tough losses at Wake Forest before you're able to secure a win. I know you're maybe a little tired of lessons from losing, but what did you take away from those first two games against the Deacons?
Winning on the road takes, obviously, toughness, but you can't give up free bases. You have to play not flawless defense, but you have to really play good defense. You can't give up free bases, like, you know, pass balls. You know, they just, you know, when you lose, you break everything down. And then obviously the hit, you know, you got to score runs. I mean, it's postseason baseball. When you're in the ACC, every weekend is a postseason game. So it's throw strikes, make routine plays, and you got to get a timely two-out hit. And Wake Forest did in the first two games, and then, you know, game three, right? We get some huge two-out hits. Yeah. We pitch really well, and we make all the plays.
How much, and we've talked about this in the past, but for a new audience, how much does the Thursday, Friday, Saturday affect the team in general? Because I'm assuming really that the players don't notice, but that starting pitcher, short rest, maybe a little more being asked of those three guys.
It's not that big a deal. Our kids are pretty resilient, you know, the weather, time changes, doubleheaders, our kids are used to it. So I kind of like the Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I think it's neat for our fans and to be on nationally televised game. Even for fans in town, you know, get out there on a Thursday night. So I kind of like the series, you know, only a few games in the country are being played on Thursday night.
Before we get to the big win Saturday, I don't ever want to single guys out, but the pitching matchup on Friday featured Chase Burns, a future top five, maybe number one overall pick in the draft. His fastball's up to 100 miles an hour, first-team All-American against the veteran, the fifth-year senior, Evan Webster. He's 87 to 91, spots his pitches, has a four-pitch mix. I know it wasn't enjoyable for you per se, but boy, those first five or six innings was just fantastic baseball as those two dueled with very different styles of pitching.
I'd be shocked if our fans don't absolutely love Evan Webster. Like, I mean, just and sometimes he'll get hit, right, and he'll give up runs. He's a pitcher, but he's in the strike zone. You'd love to play defense behind him. It's a great story. He's such a great kid. He's a team captain. If you're a fan, you feel like you've seen him now for, you know, we were teasing Webster. That was his third trip to Wake Forest. A lot of guys get one trip to a destination, sometimes two. But for Webby, that was his third trip there. Pitched his tail off, and it was unfortunate because we had a chance to score a run earlier with McCoy on third, less than two outs. Zion hits the solo home run. We have a lead against the best pitcher maybe in the country. And then we just didn't do enough offensively, and then they put together what was the epitome of like the two out hit, and they just found the hole, and they deserve to win. They did more than us, but we were very close in that game.
What does it say about Webster's growth when you look at the fact that I think it was his freshman year he gave up a walk-off home run at Wake Forest. I think it was his second trip there. He took a line drive off the arm. Last year he pitched against that team and gave up a few runs in a short stint. I mean, the numbers weren't great going in. I mean, he was phenomenal on Friday.
You know, I often say it about position players, like, you know, give me 9 Rattay checks and I feel like we're going to win a lot of games. Give me a pitching staff full of Evan Webster's. I mean, you're going to win a lot of games.
Yeah.
I mean, he does everything right from obviously being aggressive in the strike zone, fields his position, controls the running game. Just a lot of little things that we don't take for granted, and hopefully the young pitchers can benefit from a guy like that on your pitching staff.
The big win on Saturday almost coincided with a power outage at the stadium, ironically, but I want to talk about 3 performances in particular. Zion Rose went 0 for 2 with 2 not-so-great strikeouts. Not that they're good strikeouts, but, you know, he was fooled that second time looking on 3 fastballs. But he came back to get the biggest hit of the game, arguably, with that 2-run single. Not only does he bring that energy and obviously a high level of skill as a top recruit, but there's some growth there from a young player that's made some adjustments.
Energy is the word. Again, if you have to love Evan Webster, I'd be shocked if you're a fan and you just don't love Zion Rose. I get a lot of text messages from my family and friends in other parts of the country. You know, hey, I want to be president of the Zion Rose fan club. And, I mean, they just, because of the energy that he plays with, the confidence, again, the solo home run off of Burns.
Yeah.
He's just playing with what seems like no fear. And I give him a lot of credit. When I walked out to the mound, I was thinking of taking Tucker Bivin out. Tucker Bivin had thrown more pitches than he had all year. You don't want to put a kid in a position to fail. He hit the right-handed hitter when we were trying to throw a pitch away. So you felt like he was on fumes. You walk out to the mound. We've got Justin West ready to go. And I look at Tucker and I said, hey, it might be time to take you out. What do you think? And he said, no, coach, don't take me out. I want to stay in, which you can't ever really trust the pitchers, right, because that's what they're supposed to say. But Zion Rose was standing there in the catching gear, like insisting I did not take Tucker Bivin out. And he kind of rallied the infielders. So now I had 5 position players fighting for Tucker to stay in. Tucker's fighting to stay in. So, you know, at times you say, I'm going to trust these guys. And I walked off the mound thinking, all right, you know, you hope it works out. But I give Zion Rose a lot of credit for his energy and his belief. And I think he gave Tucker Bivin a lot of belief in, like, hey, man, I believe you can finish this game. I want you to finish it. And Tucker did.
It's a great point. Freshman standing up to coach. I love it. I love the support. And finally, you know, I look at the injury list and look at some of the guys are dinged up. And I look at Logan Beard, and he's got the injuries of somebody our age. The poor guy, I mean, he's trying to stay healthy. He's doing everything he can with what he's got. He comes in at a crucial situation, had a look at the pitcher that he faced the night before, inexplicably for 1 out, and then comes up with, if Zion's hit isn't the biggest of the game, his sure is, because Zion doesn't get his hit without Logan getting his.
Logan Beard's going to give you everything he has. Again, I mean, you hear coaches say it, and we got a lot of baseball left to play, but we meet every Monday morning. We kind of go over the good and the bad and the ugly, and I keep reminding, not that they need me to remind them, but, like, guys, man, we got a special group. I mean, the Evan Websters, the Logan Beards, the JT Bensons, the Isaac Humphreys, man, these are good kids. And I just signal them out because they've been here the longest.
Yeah.
That's going to have a carryover effect on your younger players. Whether they win a national championship this year or lose in a super regional or however far this team can go, there's going to be a carryover effect from the great leadership, it's just the type of kids they are and how they go about their lives and how they treat others. So I'm not taking it for granted, and I kind of told them that in the outfield after the game Saturday. It was like, hey, guys, man, we better enjoy this. you're a good group. You work hard. Let's have fun. It's not always going to go our way. Let's make sure we enjoy this.
One of my favorite things about your team since you've been here is I can guarantee you we can connect 5, 6, 7, 8 kids on this year's roster all the way back to a Logan Johnson, a Chris Cates, and the kids they've mentored, and it's been paid forward down the line. Kids continuing to take other kids under their wing, and I know it's something that the kids this year on the team are going to do again next year and the year after that.
One of the things I always say in the first team meeting in August, but I also say it when I recruit them and their parents, good kids win. You know, just kids who go to class, kids who work hard, kids who treat people the right way. And I'm not just talking about, like, win between the lines, because you're not going to win every game, but they win in life. And you can go a long way with good kids.
Yeah. So even though you had the tough game against Burns and there were some tough pitchers at Virginia Tech, your team is 12th in the nation in batting average, but you're 5th in the Atlantic Coast Conference. What does that say about baseball this year in the ACC? Because I know it has been strong. It's been almost a little chaotic in league play. We're 3 weekends in, basically, 2 for 4 of the teams. But, I mean, this is a really good year offensively, and there are obviously some really good pitching staffs as well.
I hope our league gets the credit it deserves. I mean, you see in basketball, right, some leagues get more love than others, and then in the NCAA tournament doesn't go that way. Baseball is different because there's such a home field advantage that you hope our league – gets the love that it deserves. There's only 16 sites to host. We've been very fortunate to host, but you want our league to have enough host sites so they set themselves up to advance, and then obviously you go on to the Supers in Omaha. But as I met with our coaches today, a little different from last year, we just played 2 teams that have a chance to host.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying we can't host. There's a lot of baseball left to play, but there's only 16 – there's 305 Division I teams in the country. There's only 16 host sites. And we just played 2 teams that have a chance to host, and we're going to Florida State, which on paper right now looks like they have a chance to host.
Yeah, they were the last undefeated team in the country. We've spoken to it a little bit, but I'd love for you to go into some more detail. What's the impact been of the Henry Davis clubhouse / locker room? Because we've seen the videos – we've seen the kids. I've been in big league clubhouses that aren't that nice. I mean, this is a special place, and it's a great gesture from a special kid.
It's connection. Our kids spend a lot of time at the facility. When I run down an itinerary of game day, most people are blown away how early they get there, how long they're there. After, I mean, it's a full day. And to have a beautiful facility where they love to hang out, but to have a former player – face and name on it just brings a camaraderie to our program. Hopefully it springboards us as we have a handful of projects moving forward that, you know, you want the former players to show their appreciation. And it's been a hit, no doubt. The locker room and just that entire basement facility is where those guys spend a lot of their time.
Does this pizza smell as good to you as it does to me?
Yeah,
I could have had blinders on, I knew there was pizza delivered to this table.
My favorite wings were ordered 2 tables over. Then he got the nacho platter. Now he got the pizza. So, yeah, I'm starving.
Lots of reasons to come down to Parler. The big league rosters are being solidified. Louisville's obviously going to have a big presence and a lot of the familiar names like Duvall and Smith and Bobby Miller and that. But we had incredible news today that Nick Birdie, non-roster invitee, came into the Yankees camp, and he's going to be on the 40-man roster. He's going to be a New York Yankee, and he has had as tough a road as anybody, he and McKay both, but to see him on a big league roster, that's got to be really exciting for you.
It's a great accomplishment. It's so hard to make it to the big leagues, and then it's so hard to stick. And, you know, Nick Birdie goes down, and obviously his brother does too, Zach, of some of the hardest – working, you know, pitchers, if not players, I've ever coached. Like, they kind of set the standard. Not that Tristan Magnuson and Zach Pitts and these other guys didn't work extremely hard, but from just players we recruited and they showed up on campus and there was a little rawness in there, but the work ethic was just off the chart. And that, as we talk about this team and the older players have a lasting effect, the Birdie brothers had a lasting effect on our program, and they just kind of passed the baton onto the next group of pitchers, and you just hope to keep that going.
And it was always intriguing to me because Zach and Nick, while they're similar on the mound, Very different personalities, but boy, I tell you what, that one thing about that work ethic, that's something they really had in common because they were two completely different kids.
Well, yeah, they are, but I just see the similarities in their work ethic, their love for each other, their love to compete. Such popular guys in the program, how many friends they had. It's what you want when you recruit these kids, man. You want them to be part of this brotherhood. And it was so cool to, Nick originally obviously signed with us and came here, but Zach didn't sign with us. Zach signed with another school. And when he saw how much fun his brother was having and the growth that Nick was having, I'll never forget the phone call from Bob and Debbie and, hey, Zach thinks he made a mistake. This was before the transfer portal. Zach wants to get out of his NLI and he wants to come to Louisville. And I remember thinking, wow, what a cool thing to say, and we were able to make it work, and we were blessed we got to coach Zach as well.
No question about it. And of course their underachieving brother, who is just a Division I college quarterback. So it's quite a family and a great family. Good parents, just super people all the way around. So congratulations to Nick, and obviously on the broadcasts over the course of the season we'll highlight some of the pro guys. Tomorrow night is Cancer Awareness Night. We're going to talk to Julie here in a little bit and get some more detail on that from her. But I just want to hear from you. The meeting, we got some bats to give away to some folks that asked some good questions. But I know it's a special night, and you guys have really gone above and beyond. I'm excited to talk about these uniforms.
I think as we talk about connection, and I heard Julie on the radio earlier, it's bringing the community together. As everybody knows, our love for this city and this community, that when she's talking about Gilda's Club, man, this is a facility here pouring into people in this community and offering free services because of the generous donations that so many people give throughout the year. So it just brought a lot of camaraderie for me hearing Julie talk about it. And unfortunately, every player in my program, as probably most in the country, if not the world, have to deal with cancer in their family. So it brings it home to our players and their families, but it's awesome to show off our community and how special Gilda's Club is in the city of Louisville.
And we'll talk much more about that when we get Julie on here. But before we let you go, at Florida State, Tallahassee, always a tough place to play. Easter weekend, it'll be another Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and that's why we're 5 o'clock tomorrow for Cincinnati. Florida State went to Clemson, and they had sizable leads in all three games, and they evaporated in all three games. And I think one of Clemson's, I think it was Wright, had 21 RBI last week. So I'm sure they're glad to see him going. But it's going to be interesting to see. They came into that series the last undefeated team in the country. They're going to come back home. They can't be too pleased with that. I know no disadvantage or advantage, but it was a little eye-opening to see them struggle with those leads.
If you're following college baseball, and we have to do a good job ourselves as coaches and as players, you see teams getting 10 runned. And Florida State was undefeated, the last undefeated team in the country, top 15, wherever they were. They got 10-run rule, like Ole Miss got 10-run rule at Tennessee.
Yeah.
LSU got 10-run rule at home. At home.
Yeah.
It's a lot of offense. The strike zone is just a little smaller. And so, I'm trying to encourage our guys, you're never out of the game if you're down 5, 6, 7 runs. And you're never pulling away from anybody. Like, nobody is going to, so you have to keep playing. And I hope we can just learn and grow through this short college baseball season. And because it's not over, we're going to 10-run some teams. And I hate to say it, somebody might 10-run us. But you have to be able to turn the page. The Nick Solak, right? Just turn the page.
Yeah.
And let's be professional and bounce right back tomorrow.
I think the strangest example of that, I don't know if I shared it on the show or it was on a broadcast, but North Carolina and Miami played. Miami 10-run ruled North Carolina in the opener. North Carolina 10-run ruled Miami on Sunday. So it is a topsy-turvy league. We're going to step away for a break. When we come back, we'll talk to the First Lady of Louisville Baseball, Julie McDonald. It's the Dan McDonald Coaches Show. Thank you so much for joining us live from Parler in J-Town. Welcome back to Parler in J-Town. You hear me all right? All right, wonderful. Oh, we appreciate that. Sean Moth here with you, and not yet enjoying all these fine food and drink that these people are flaunting in front of us, but it sure smells good. We've talked a little bit about Cancer Awareness Night with head coach Dan McDonald, now to the First Lady of Louisville Baseball, Julie McDonald. And before I get there, Stephen told me, I'm going to say it before I forget, there is an incredible video that our videographer Asad Ali has put together about some of our players' experiences with cancer. And not to sound younger than I am, but that will drop tonight at 7 o'clock on social media. So keep an eye on the Twitter, Facebook, those feeds. If you don't have one, find somebody that does so you can get a look at the video. We'll offer you plenty of opportunities. But some players and some coaches with some very personal stories, and they're specifically reflective. And the video, Asad just does an amazing job, and so he continues to do so. So 7 o'clock tonight, keep an eye out for that. And Julie, I got to ask you, you've always done such a great job with cancer awareness. The uniforms this year have specialized ribbons, unique colors to the specific cancers.
Yes.
And the patch above that refers to the individual that each player is honoring. What a special thing for each of these individuals.
Yeah, the jerseys are amazing. I wish it were my idea, but it wasn't. But what a beautiful way to honor those loved ones of our players and our coaching staff.
And having known your story and the maiden name, I believe that the two patches on your sleeve reflect your folks and the story that we've definitely heard at the leadoff dinner. What does it mean to you to give the kids on the team and the other coaches on a team this forum on their sleeve to literally wear their heart on their sleeve?
Right. Well, you know, cancer is just everywhere, and it's in every family. And for me personally, when my parents were diagnosed, it's been now about 23 years ago, 24 years ago, and my sister and I just, we didn't really know how to deal with the grief that we were feeling. For me, I felt pretty alone in it. And so when we moved to Louisville, I heard about Gilda's Club and just was kind of blown away at what they offer for people who are going through cancer. And their loved ones.
Yeah, people of a certain age may know from Saturday Night Live, Gilda Radner, married to Gene Wilder. Gilda's Club is in her name, and she lost her life to cancer at a relatively young age. And Gilda's Club of Louisville, maybe give a little more background on exactly what they do, because I know when you come up with a place to donate money with cancer, they're just hundreds and hundreds of options, but this one is especially unique, and I love the story. So maybe share with our listeners a little more about Gilda's Club of Louisville.
Gilda's Club of Louisville has since changed their name to Gilda's Club Kentuckiana.
Okay, wonderful.
So it is gck.org if you want to go and learn a little bit more about it. But it started here, I believe, 2006.
Okay.
Nope, you know what? We're celebrating our 20th Gilda's Night this year. So it's been 20 years.
Wow.
But they offer over 180 different programs. I mean, there's things, music, yoga, of course, support groups. But the thing about it is it's all free.
Yeah.
Everything that they offer is free to our community, which is why I like to raise money for them and keep their doors open. Because nobody should really go through cancer alone.
And in particular, while the patients are getting their care, this is for people like you and your sister that are looking for answers, looking for resources, looking for people to help and assist with that. Am I correct?
Yes. Yeah, so Gilda Radner really believed in the psychosocial care along with the medical care. And so that's what Gilda's Club does, is it really brings that support to the social side and the emotional side of cancer.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. I'll encourage you that are here to take a look at the patches on the sleeve and the unique, I'm trying to remember, bladder cancer?
So my dad was colon cancer.
That's right, okay.
And then my mom was ovarian cancer.
Okay. It's amazing. And then the initials above, I think Caleb Corbett's featured in the video. I think his, instead of initials, he just went with mom. You can't go wrong there.
That's
but
great.
Bless his heart. I'm not going to talk too much about it. I'm going to get all emotional, but great video. I'm sure it'll be played in venue in addition to what other promotions do we have going on tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night we have these great little pink mini bats that Louisville Slugger has been very gracious in donating to us every year. But for a $10 minimum donation to Gilda's Club, you'll get the mini bat, and then your name will go into a raffle for the large bat, and that's usually done in the fifth inning.
We're sitting at 36 home runs this year. Your encouragement with Coach has gone really well. I mean, I think we got a little more power than maybe we expected, at least me and Luke Napleton leading the way and helping the charge. But it's a promotion. You've done over $100,000 raised since you've arrived here. People pledge money for home runs. Have they missed the cutoff? Can they just make a bulk donation? Can they still get on board?
All of the above.
Okay, wonderful.
Yes. You can donate all season long, just an amount per home run. And then in the summer, I send out letters. And then you send your donation to Gilda's Club.
And I think you also have the opportunity to go to GCK if you just want to make a donation. You know, you can pledge Home Runs for Hope, but no donation is too small, I think, in any case like this. You know, you figure it's great if one person gives $500, but if 500 people give $1, it's the same amount of money. So give that some thought. And let's go ahead and grab – we had four great questions. Which one of you wants to grab two of these to give away these mini bats?
Dan, you
when we're at it, Dan, you going to do the honor?
Well, I got to pick the third one.
All right. So, Carl, where's Carl at? Come on over. Grab your mini bat. Great question. We appreciate it. And our other winner?
We'll go one.
Appreciate it. All right. Kevin. Where's Kevin at? Kevin's going to send the spokesperson up to grab the bat. This is our bulldog, right? Wonderful. Thank you so much. Outstanding. 5 o'clock first pitch.
Yes.
What time do you want folks to arrive for some of the pregame festivities that are going on in terms of Cancer Awareness Night? Anything specific?
Probably, you know, 4:35, as soon as you can get there.
If you can. If you can.
I know it's a little bit early start.
Wonderful. Will you have pink lemonade? I'm trying to remember.
I don't believe so.
Okay.
I have not heard if they're doing the pink lemonade
Leave
this
it
year.
To me to look forward to the food. I'm sorry if I spoke out of turn. Julie, we so much appreciate your time.
Thank you. Incredible story.
Home Runs for Hope, Gilda's Club of Kentuckiana, and our cancer awareness game tomorrow night. Look at those patches on the sleeves of the players. I think on social media and in venue, they're going to explain all the meanings, all the patches, all the players. I'll have a list in the booth with me. I'll try to update those on the radio as we see these guys in the game. No pressure on Dan to be sure everybody plays, but we'll see what we can do. Julie, thank you so much for
all you do. Thanks, Sean.
Thank you for your time. Julie McDonald, our guest on the Dan McDonald Coaches Show, as we talk about our cancer awareness game tomorrow night, 5 o'clock first pitch, longtime rival Cincinnati coming to town. We look forward to seeing you there. We're going to step away with another break. Then we've got a pair of players here. We'll talk with Logan Beard and Will Koger. This is Coach McDonald Radio Show from Learfield. Rolling back to Parlor in J-Town for the Dan McDonald Coaches Show. I want to thank Coach Mack as well as Julie McDonald for sharing some time with us talking about Cancer Awareness Night tomorrow night. We are now joined by pitcher Will Koger. He is a junior from Bardstown, Kentucky. And, Will, welcome. It's great to have you. You said you hadn't been here before. It's a pretty nice place, huh?
Oh, it's awesome. Yeah. I already got some pizza, and it was fantastic.
I love it. I love it. I want to go back to your summer in the Cape Cod League. What was that experience like for you?
It's always awesome. It was my second summer going back, and I went back to the same team, the Wareham Gateman, and, you know, it's always a blast. Just the people up there and, you know, playing against top of the top players, it's always fun and a good time.
I know it's easy to get down some frustrating losses in ACC play, and it's been a tough road. You guys have, I think, lost 11 straight road games in the ACC. What did that win mean to this team on Saturday?
Yeah, I think you could definitely sense that, you know, all of us collectively as a group decided on Saturday that, hey, we need to get a win right here. And, you know, just, you know, seeing the energy change and, you know, everyone was locked in and, you know, we were playing good. I mean, obviously Wake Forest is a tough opponent. So I think, you know, we were all excited to win that game.
I felt like you were pretty strong presence on the top step of the dugout there.
Yeah, I was pretty amped up. I was just wanting all the guys, you know, to be locked in, and you know, it was the bus ride back was a lot better now that we ended on a win. So
did you watch a little basketball then?
Yeah, we sat there and watched basketball the whole way home.
So. I love it. I love it. You're outing against Lipscomb. You were dominant. You got a couple double playground balls. I mean, you were untouchable. It felt like you were working your pitches wherever you wanted them. Did you work on something specific ahead of that outing, or was there something different about that outing that maybe turned the corner for you, or was it just sticking to the process?
I think the biggest thing is first pitch strikes. That's kind of been a problem for me in my career, is getting ahead and staying ahead, and you know, just finding the zone early in that game was ultimately the biggest, you know, separator for me.
What did that do to boost your confidence? Because you followed it up with another great performance, and I know things went a little south at the end of the Wake game there, but that was another great outing for you.
Yeah, just, you know, obviously pitching has a lot of confidence in it, and, you know, being able to have a couple good outings in a row has been able to help me a lot.
So what is your favorite moment as a Louisville Cardinal so far?
Ooh.
I know that's a little tougher for a junior class, with the last 2 years haven't quite gone as well, but is there anything that stands out for you? Are you seeking that moment?
I am still seeking my own moment for our team, and but I think, you know, my freshman year, obviously, I didn't get to go to Texas A&M, but being able to watch the guys play there in such a cool atmosphere was, you know, obviously I wasn't there, but it was still a highlight for me to see my team there.
Absolutely. Talk about the influence your dad had. I know he played college baseball. He coached you all through high school, but he's been a major presence in your life.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly don't think I'd be here without him. He's been my coach since I was, you know, could barely walk, obviously, and just everything he's done for me has got me to where I am right now.
So you golfed in high school. You still swing the sticks?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Are you the best golfer on the team?
I would like to think I am.
Do we have a handicap? Do we have a range there where you're at?
On a good day, I'm probably sitting at 5 over.
But all right. Anybody think they can keep up with Will on the golf course?
That's only
anyone?
A good day.
All right. Maybe we got a couple of people. Have you had a chance to play with Coach Williams?
I have not, no. I'm a little scared to play with Coach Williams, honestly.
I don't know who the best coach is. I know Coach Mundorf has a pretty good game too, but maybe down the road we'll get you out there with them. What's life after baseball look like for you? I know we're looking forward to a long pro career, but as you prepare now in college, what are you thinking about wanting to do?
I kind of have my sights on being an athletic director.
I love it.
I don't think I would last in college, but mainly probably just high school at some point.
I like it. I like it. I saw you're a Yankees fan. How are the Yankees going to be this year?
Oh, I'm so excited. We got Juan Soto, Alex Verdugo, and Judge. Garrett Cole is hurt right now, so that's kind of makes me upset. But I think I'm so excited to watch him this year.
And we got Nick Birdie from the Cardinals on that roster too.
I love it.
Who are you honoring tomorrow night? Cancer Awareness Game. We talked about the patches. I know that you're featured in this video that's coming out at 7 o'clock, but maybe tell some folks a little bit of your story.
Yeah, so my dad, I was going into my sophomore year of high school, and it was right before baseball season, and he was playing golf, actually, and he found out that he had something in his side or that wasn't feeling right, and so he got diagnosed with colon cancer. And so he's on the sleeve tomorrow, and then my mom's dad, I called him Daddy B, he had ovarian cancer, and he passed away when I was a senior in high school.
Okay. So, wow. Fantastic. Yep. Henry Davis locker room. What's your favorite part about it?
The showers.
All right.
Honestly, I don't really know why. They're just really nice, and the last locker room showers were kind of had to wear flip-flops in there, so...
The old shower shoes, just like Bull Durham. Right. I mean, what was the emotion like? Because they kind of held that from you, and it was a little bit of a tough fall and spring for you guys. I know you're showering over at football, and you're kind of changing in the parking lot of that. What was it like to walk through that first time?
It was awesome. I'm not going to lie, I kind of peeked in throughout the process a little bit, but I wasn't supposed to do that.
Wily veteran.
But, you know, the first time going in there, it's like, man, like this is awesome. We haven't seen anything like this so far, and just being able to have that every day is pretty cool now.
Do you have a favorite uniform?
I'm a big fan of the black uniforms, all black.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. And how about ballpark? Is there a favorite ballpark you visited since you've been here?
Florida State is probably my number one right now, but we're going to North Carolina, and I've heard that's a pretty sweet place.
Boshamer is nice. Coach Will will appreciate that as well. Will, we really appreciate your time. Best of luck to you the rest of the way. Look forward to talking to you after one of these games when a big performance comes your way.
Awesome. Thank you for having me.
All right. Will Koger, our guest. We'll come back with Logan Beard. It's the Dan McDonald Radio Show live from Learfield. Welcome back to the Dan McDonald Radio Show. We're live from Parlor in J-Town, enjoying some pizza, some beverages, wings, nachos, salads. It's all good here. We hope you come out for one of these shows. We would love to have you. We're joined by senior infielder Logan Beard, a North Oldham Mustang. Logan, good to have you. How you been?
Yeah, doing good. Good to be here.
Glad to have you. So, the redshirt season, have you given advice to guys like Eddie King Jr., Lippy, Dickerson, some of those guys that have gone through that process to help them reflect? Because I know you and JT and Isaac had kind of that group together where you were able to lean on each other, but sometimes it can be an isolating – it's a tough thing to do.
Yeah, it's definitely tough in the moment. I've actually talked to Lippy about this pretty recently. He all the tidbits of wisdom we tried to give him, like stick with it, all the fancy stuff. He said he didn't believe us in the moment. He's like, man, these dudes are just lying to me. But now he realized that we weren't just blowing smoke to him. We were actually trying to help him out. But I think we can have a little bit of wisdom that we can help out with those younger guys, because it's definitely not easy. It can get a little lonely at times, and obviously older guys leaning on me when I was doing it definitely helped me.
I was going to say, who helped you out? Because I know there was a core of guys above you that were able to kind of talk you through it.
Yeah, Cooper Bowman, Henry Davis, those were two dudes.
It's not bad.
No, not bad at all. I was in the infield every day with Cooper, real good athlete, so he helped me a lot in the infield. And then Henry, he just had a strange, different type of work ethic that definitely rubbed off on me a little bit. That was always fun to watch.
There's weird buzz that Cooper could make the opening day roster for the A's. I don't know if that's going to happen or if it has happened, but he's certainly getting close there. How's your current health? I know you battled about everything you could possibly battle, and you got some foot problems this year, but how are you feeling?
Yeah, feeling healthy. Feet are feeling good. Feet were a little banged up this fall, but they're a lot healthier now, which is good.
And the secret to that is toe yoga?
Toe yoga, that is right.
Tell us about toe yoga.
You know, if you get a little foot issues, just put a little band around the big toe, move the toe around, stretches out the bottom of the feet. It's magic.
I love it. We asked Will, I know that the ACC play has been a bit of a struggle. How big was that win on Saturday for you guys?
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, I kind of heard Will say something about the bus ride back. I mean, it makes that bus ride back so much more fun. I mean, we're able to play games on the bus. We're laughing with each other. It's a fun experience. I mean, the energy on Saturday was a lot different than two games before.
You were a huge part of it. You drove in the tying run. You scored the winning run eventually. What was your advantage? Their coach made a really weird move, bringing in a new pitcher for the last out of the game the day before. You had a chance to see him, same guy you faced. I know there weren't a ton of pitches thrown, but was that an advantage for you?
Yeah, I think so. Scouting report had what his pitches were. I was looking for that the night before, got the one pitch, popped it up to right, and then they bring him in again, same thing. My approach was the exact same. I knew they were going to throw me the exact same way they did. Because it worked last time. Why wouldn't they? So the approach was the exact same.
Bang it through the six hole. That was a huge knock. What's your favorite moment as a Louisville Cardinal? I know you've been a part of some exciting moments team-wise. You threw one up in the old Crawford boxes there in Houston. But what's your favorite moment?
I think favorite moment is Super Regional in Texas A&M. That one was – that atmosphere was nothing like I've ever played in. The fans there were crazy. I lost my voice just trying to talk to – Napchick, my shortstop, the whole game, which was unreal. It was so loud. That was probably the most fun experience, despite the two losses. That was crazy.
Absolutely. Narrow losses, no question. We talked with Will about it, these new uniforms for Cancer Night. You're able to honor somebody in particular. Who are you honoring tomorrow night? Give me a little background on that story.
I got my Nana. So it's a purple and yellow ribbon. And it is bladder cancer. It was a few years ago she was battling with that. It was a pretty short battle. She won. She's doing well now. She's healthy now, which is awesome. Despite so many people that we lose to cancer, it's just awful. Thankfully, my Nana was able to get through that, which is awesome. So I got a little purple and yellow is what it is.
What does it mean to you to have that on your sleeve, though? Because you guys have always worn a ribbon, but now it's personal. Yeah, I mean, that's really special.
It makes it a lot more special that it's personal. I mean, when Oliver, our equipment guy, told us that we get to personalize the ribbon on it, I was like, man, that's awesome. I immediately texted my mom, figured out what ribbon it was, and I was excited.
That's amazing. They look fantastic. Again, that video at 7 o'clock. We'll hear from some of the players and coaches about their experiences. This may not still be true. You never know when you fill out this bio sheet, you know, years ago, but it said you're a Star Wars fan. You still a Star Wars fan?
I love Star Wars.
What's your favorite movie?
Favorite movie, Return of the Jedi.
Okay. I like it.
It has to be.
I remember I saw A New Hope when it was actually just called Star Wars in the theater when I was 6 years old, so it blew my mind then. How about your favorite series? Because they branched off a lot of series, The Mandalorian, Boba Fett. You have a favorite?
Clone Wars is up there because I grew up watching Clone Wars.
Yeah.
Mandalorians, you can't go wrong with that one.
Yeah.
The Mandalorian's sweet. I probably got to give it to Clone Wars, though.
I watched all of Clone Wars. I just finished Rebels. That was kind of fun, too.
Rebels is fun. That's
I love it. Do you have a favorite character? I know that's a tough one.
Probably. either Obi-Wan or Boba Fett.
Oh, such a good call.
It's a toss-up.
Such a good call. Life after baseball for you. We talked with Will about it. Hopefully there's a pro career ahead for you, but I'm understanding you maybe have a little bit of a plan as well after baseball.
Yeah, I've been talking to Cam Robinson a lot. He's our GA this year. Maybe might try to dive into that next year, being a GA for the team. Maybe down the road get into coaching a little bit. The strength and conditioning world has always been up there for me as well, but we'll see. We'll see where that road takes me.
All right. How much have you changed as a ball player since you set foot on campus?
Yeah, I feel like the biggest thing that's changed for me is just the knowledge of the game. That obviously has a huge advantage just playing, and I feel like that's where I've had my biggest growth is learning the game, learning where to throw the ball, learning what approach to have in different situations. It just frees you out.
I've been with this team for 25 years, and it seems like every year the position players are convinced that if they played the pitchers in a game that they would defeat them.
100%.
You standing firm on that?
100%.
So if they throw you on the bump, are you going to get guys out?
Hey, I may not get many guys out, but I'll throw strikes.
All right, what's the arsenal? You just going fastball? Or
just fastballs right down the middle. See if you can hit it.
See if you can hit it. I've always argued.
Hey, we got Michael Lippi, Corbin. Those dudes, they could dial it up. We got McCoy.
No question. I'm sure Isaac throws the little
that pitches wouldn't be able to touch
Zion, him. Yeah. Speaking of Zion, what is it about his energy in that? That's a special freshman.
It is. It's special. He doesn't act like a freshman.
Yeah.
He's not scared to play the game the way he plays the game. He's not scared of playing bad and getting benched because of it. He's like a lot of freshmen. A lot of freshmen have that mentality.
Yeah.
And he just goes out there and plays, man. He's real fun to watch, and he's going to be special in a couple of years.
I don't know. I don't think you were here yet for it, but take me through the meeting on the mound with Bibbin when Dan came out to take Bibbin out. You guys kind of stood up for him. Take me through that from your perspective.
I think Tucker will tell you that he convinced Mac to let him stay in, but honestly, I think it was all the infielders. He kind of looked at Mac. He kind of looked at Mac and was like, let me stay in. And Coach Mac's like, oh, you sure you want to finish the game? All of the infielders in sync, yeah, let him finish the game. He's throwing right here.
What do you think it did for Tucker to have those five guys have his back like that?
Oh, man, he was so locked in. I hope it just gave him even more confidence, you know, because his stuff was working that day. He had that one hitter that was a little iffy, two hitters maybe.
Yeah.
But right after that, it was lights out again.
No question. Speaking of teammates, you kind of strolled in here a little later than you wanted to. Do you want to share why that happened?
Yeah.
Are you going to rely on Will for a ride again?
Probably not. That one was on me. I thought Koger was coming over to my house to pick me up, but he was on his way here apparently.
I'm on my way. Well, that's all right. That's what flyball communication in the real world. That's
exactly.
All right. We got here. We're good. Dan's a Yankees fan. Will's a Yankees fan. You're a Yankees fan. How are the Yankees going to be this year?
Man, I hope they're good. They got Soto now. Stanton looks healthy. Volpe's playing better. I just watched they played Mexico yesterday, and Trevor Bauer kind of shoved a little bit, but
right.
Against them.
All right. I can never keep track who's playing where. Henry Davis locker room. It's kind of a cool place. Huh? What's your favorite part?
Favorite part? I heard Will say the showers. That was a little weird, but I think my favorite part's just being in one locker room with the guys every single day. It was fun at football. Obviously, we had a locker room, but guys were kind of in and out, driving back and forth, so it wasn't everybody in there at once, and just having that atmosphere is my favorite part.
Absolutely. It does a lot for bonding in that. Favorite uniform?
Favorite uniform? The new Reds. I like the new Reds a lot. Those are sweet. New
awesome.
Friday uniforms.
Logan, appreciate your time. Continued success to you. We'll talk to you
yes,
after
sir.
One of these games, okay?
Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Logan Beard, our guest. On behalf of head coach Dan McDonald, Julie McDonald, Will Koger, Logan Beard, my name is Sean Maugh. Thanks again to Stephen Williams for his help. As always, we hope to see you tomorrow, Cancer Awareness Night, 5 o'clock. First pitch as the Louisville Cardinals host Cincinnati. We'll take care now. We'll see you at the ballpark.